Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, October 10, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, University of Illinois Gies College of Business, $150 million gift, largely funding scholarships, by Julie Wirth, Champaign. The amount was stunning, $150 million from a single donor, the largest gift in University of Illinois history and one of the largest to a business school anywhere. The donation by Chicago entrepreneur Larry Geis and his wife Beth, both U of I alumni, prompted the U of I College of Business to change its name in their honor. A year later, how is that money being spent? The college didn't get $150 million in one lump sum, but the first installment has generated hundreds of thousands of dollars for student scholarships, money for a faculty recruiting program, and support for the college's growing online initiatives, according to Dean Jeffrey Brown. It's had an immediate impact, he said Tuesday. Geis, a 1988 U of I accounting graduate from Mendota, is the founder, president, and CEO of Madison Industries, one of the largest privately held companies in the world. At his request, the details of the gift haven't been made public, Brown said. The couple made a generous initial donation last year and will be paying other installments over time, most of it over the next 10 years, he said. A small portion will also be donated as an estate gift later. Their unrestricted gift, combined with the end of the two-year state budget impasse, meant that the college was able to start investing in key priorities, including student scholarships, Brown said. That was important to Geis, who regularly returns to campus to work with students, he said. Geis could not be reached for comment Tuesday. All told, the investments so far add up to several million dollars of spending annually. But Brown said the college is trying to be prudent, laying out a long-term plan so that whatever spending we start doing, we can sustain forever. For freshmen this fall, scholarship dollars rose by 40% over the amount awarded the previous year, he said. Most of those are four-year awards. That extra $200,000 will also be awarded to the next three freshman classes, bringing the total increase in scholarships for all undergraduates to about $800,000 over the next 4 years, he said. Scholarships are also a priority for the college's overall fundraising campaign, part of the $2.25 billion With Illinois Campus Fund Drive, he said. My goal at the start of this campaign was to double our scholarship capacity in the college, Brown said. This got us a huge first step. Hiring frenzy. The college was previously spending about $2 million a year on scholarships for its 3,200 undergraduates, or roughly $500,000 per class, he said. The goal is to get that closer to $4 million by the end of the campaign in 2022, he said. That doesn't include awards made under the U of I's new Illinois Commitment Program that will waive tuition and fees for qualified Illinois students with family incomes of $61,000 or less. Between that and what we're doing with philanthropic dollars, we're going to be able to meet a significant unmet need in the college, he said. For students who receive free tuition and fees through Illinois Commitment, The college may offer additional help with room and board costs, he said. And there are lots of other students in the middle whose families earn too much for Illinois commitment but still need aid, he said. There's never enough, he said. If I had another $10 million a year for scholarships, I could put it all to good use for very deserving students. Tuition and fees for the College of Business total about $17,000 a year for in-state students and about $33,600 a year for out-of-state or international students. Regarding faculty numbers, Brown said one of his priorities when he became dean in 2015 was to hire 30 new professors over the next few years to support new undergraduate programs, research, online education, and entrepreneurship activities. The Guy's Gift makes it financially possible to achieve that vision, he said. We are hiring in almost all areas and all fields, he said. So far, the college has added 10 net positions, accounting for retirements and other departures, and Brown hopes to pick up that pace. The positions include research faculty and other scholars, as well as skilled practitioners moving from the private sector, most of them alumni, including a former chief financial officer, an investment banker, and a partner at Deloitte. Vote of confidence. The Guy's Gift also makes it possible for the college to expand its online programs, an MBA program launched in 2016, and a master's in accounting that started in 2017. Both have proven popular, and it will require additional faculty and support staff to offer courses more frequently, he said. It will be a good financial and reputational investment long term, he said. The Guy's Gift was a vote of confidence that created momentum for the college and a bump in enrollment, Brown said. The freshman class jumped to 635 this year from 565 last year, even though the college admitted the same number of students, he said. Business majors interviewed Tuesday said the gift and having a name for the college definitely created a buzz. It was amazing to see how much it brought together all of the College of Business, said junior Lauren Alberts, who attended all of the events surrounding the gift announcement last October. Alberts received a $5,000 scholarship for the first time this year, which was definitely helpful in funding my education, and it was a weight off the shoulders of my family, she said. I think it was awesome that Larry Guy's was able to provide this for the students in the College of Business. Likewise, junior Christopher Billing, a New York native who received a $3,000 award this year, said the Guy's Gift gave a boost to the college's profile. About 2 weeks before last year's announcement, Billing and other students who were asked to be in a photo shoot with Guy's, although we all had no idea who he was, it was very secretive. Two weeks later, when the gift was announced, the Guy's name became a household word, plastered on buttons, banners, and letterhead for the college. I definitely would have shook his hand if I had the chance, Billing said. Champaign Schools, Unit 4 Agrees to Buy House, by Lindsay Jones, Champaign. Not long ago, the Champaign School Board deemed the house at 617 West Church Street, Champaign, unneeded for its plans. But on Tuesday evening, the Unit 4 school district agreed to pay $298,000 and become that property's owner, ending a years-long state of limbo for Tim and Deb Bowers, the current owners. Deb Bowers called the sale a relief. I feel like I can breathe again, she said, adding that the family may move to Savoy. We don't want the kids to have to watch the house be torn down. Through their attorney, Paul Cole, the Bowers had been trying to reach an agreement with Unit 4 for more than a year. They'd purchased the home in 2006 for $230,000 and hoped to remain there, even after voting in favor of a referendum package that included plans to expand Central High School nearby. But as neighboring properties were sold off to the district, they began to reconsider. They wondered about the health of their children during the construction and hoped to reach some sort of agreement with the district, either an immediate purchase or an option to purchase. But talks between the parties stalled frequently. Recently, Cole took to using public comment periods at board meetings as a way of reaching board members directly. Initially, Unit 4 didn't want to pay nearly $300,000 for the home, given that it wasn't in what had been deemed the critical pathway of Central's expansion. But the Bowers family didn't want to settle for an agreement that didn't factor in the work the family had done to improve the house, including Tim's woodwork inside. The deal was approved 5-2. School board members Kathy Richards and Gianna Baker voted against the purchase. "I just want to state I'm voting no because I view it as a want and not a need, and the amount of money is too high to justify this want," Richards said. In other board news, members heard from a public engagement firm who had analyzed the district's projected enrollment over the next 10 years. Information from that report could inform later decisions on whether to redistrict, board members said, but public input and more information would be necessary first. According to the study, the district's estimated overall enrollment in 10 years could be 10,571, up a few hundred students from the projection of 10,182 students this school year. The board also approved a hazardous materials abatement contract with Abetco Inc. for $123,797. Two grant proposals written by Assistant Superintendent Jennifer Ivory Tatum and aimed at supporting instruction for the educationally disadvantaged students, as well as providing professional development for teachers within that programming, also received the board's stamp of approval. Champaign City Council, Bradley to get safety updates. But one official doesn't think crosswalk will improve things. By Adalberto Toledo, Champaign. Motivated by two strikingly similar pedestrian deaths last year on a stretch of West Bradley Avenue, City of Champaign staff have come up with a plan to add a crosswalk, fix sidewalks, and bring better lighting to the area. But as Mayor Deb Finan said at Tuesday's study session about safety on Bradley between Prospect and McKinley Avenues, the 2019 Bradley Avenue project is essentially a stopgap measure to address safety concerns right away, while the city staff continue to look at how to bring more development to the north side. Already, the city has placed flashing crossing signs across West Bradley, and officials hope to keep those in place even after some project improvements are made. On Tuesday, Assistant City Engineer Krist Sokolowski told the Champaign City Council the project's price tag, about $900,000, and laid out a schedule that would see a plan before the council in March, a contract by April, and construction in summer 2019. The work would focus mainly on resurfacing existing pavement along Bradley from Prospect to McKinley, installing new street lights and a crosswalk just east of Willis Avenue, and fixing broken sidewalk ramps and cracked panels. For Councilmember Tom Bruno, the crosswalk is the biggest sticking point. Perhaps putting a crosswalk there will be an invitation for more trouble, Bruno said. On Green Street, I often see students step off the sidewalk with apparently a false sense of security that doesn't jive with motorists' behaviors. That might have an adverse effect on pedestrian safety. I have a feeling this will backfire. Bruno added that he doesn't want to move forward with a plan if it is just for purely symbolic reasons. I don't want to do this merely to show the community, look how much we love you, we're going to put in a crosswalk, Bruno said. I'll support this, but only because I trust that hopefully this is going to improve the situation, but I'm not 100% convinced it will. We might come to regret this. Bruno's comments resulted in confused expressions from some on the council and prompted Councilmember Matt Gladney to give his opinion. I think not having the crosswalk is a detriment in the area, Gladney said. At the very least, we won't have more fatalities. This probably will provide more safety and do more good than harm to the area. Councilmember Clarissa Foreman, who called for a study session after the deaths of Marjorie Roberts in December 2016 and Robert Milligan in October 2017, said she was pleased with how quickly staff put together a plan. She said she originally did not want to take up the issue for fear of it being ignored by the council. It's the way many people feel from the north side about the city and the council, she said. She added that, no, the project isn't a save-all, but it's something. I'm not 100% sure this will make a difference, she said, but I hope this is some kind of an olive branch to the north side so people see we're trying to improve their quality of life, particularly among the people who walk that part of the city. They deserve the same quality of life, just like they have it on Devonshire, where we spend so much money. Foreman said she'd like to see what can be done about adding bike paths to Bradley, which Sokolowski said could be difficult given the limited space, and emphasized taking some of the improvements done in other parts of the city to the north side. There's been no development and no movement on the north end since I've lived here, Foreman said. Every Tuesday, it seems like I'm in the Twilight Zone. We talk about all the money we're spending and about budgets, but we're not seeing that money equally spread across the city. And this is just a constant reminder that the quality of life is not the same everywhere in the city. Martell Miller, who spoke during public comment, said he was most happy about the improvement to lighting in the area. I have never seen a piece of new concrete on Bradley in my lifetime, and I've been here 50 years, Miller said. So it's a good thing y'all are doing what y'all are doing on Bradley. When I first started coming here, it was like talking to a wall. But now I'm glad you're doing something. University of Illinois, business school backdrop, a sign of branding effort. No. Lovie Smith doesn't have a new dual appointment in the University of Illinois Guy's College of Business. The name emblazoned on the backdrop for the Illini football coaches' press conferences is part of a larger branding effort by the business college, which was named after donors Larry and Beth Guy's a year ago. The college purchased an Illini athletic sponsorship for $25,000 this year to get the new Guy's name in front of the public. Dean Jeffrey Brown, an economist who was once a brand manager at Procter & Gamble, has focused on branding since taking over as dean in 2015. It's long been a criticism that the university doesn't tell its story well. We allow ourselves to be outmarketed and outcompeted by our peers, Brown said. He and Jan Slater, an advertising professor and chief marketing officer for the college, have pushed to get the guy's name in the spotlight. Who we are as a college and what makes us unique, Brown said. We're putting some money behind it to go out and tell our story. The four-person communication staff has more than doubled in size, and the college is gearing up for other marketing efforts to raise its profile, including digital advertising, billboards along Interstate 57, and social media campaigns. A large portion of the college's alumni base follows Illini sports and has children deciding where to attend college, Brown said. We want to reach alumni and parents of prospective students, he said. It's a great target audience for us. Illinois athletic spokesman Kent Brown said any sponsor can purchase the backdrop through Learfield Communications, which owns most sponsorship rights for Illini games. The Guy's College of Business is the only one so far, though Dynegy has been a sponsor in the past, he said. The backdrop is actually a digital screen that Learfield is testing at a half dozen colleges this year as a prototype, he said. That article by Julie Wirth. From the local section, County Board, Balance in Store for 2019 Budget by Tim Mitchell, Urbana. Following years of financial concerns, largely stemming from the troubled Champaign County Nursing Home, the Champaign County Board plans to begin the next fiscal year with a balanced budget. On Thursday night, the board held a public hearing on its proposed fiscal year 2019 budget, which was followed by the board's Committee of the Whole voting to place the tentative proposal on file. While the budget predicts $120,775,667 in revenues versus $123,006,313 in expenses, County Administrator Deb Busey said it is considered balanced under county policies because the difference is money the county set aside in advance in previous budget years to be spent this year. The biggest change in the budget involves the nursing home, which is slated to be sold at the end of this month. Last year, the county sank $22.9 million of the budget into the home. The new budget's nursing home line item calls for spending $3 million to cover anticipated final costs. The projected fund balance at the end of the upcoming fiscal year is $0. Expenditures by the Regional Planning Commission are set to jump from $11.3 million to $14.16 million. But Busey said the line item involves spending grant money the commission is set to receive. The county anticipates spending $2.2 million in motor fuel tax fund money, largely to replace a bridge that carries the Philo slab over the Embarrass River, and to match a federal grant to improve guardrails along many county roads. State budget woes have affected the county budget when it comes to probation services. Busey said the state has cut its reimbursement to counties for the salaries of probation officers. In order to cover the resulting shortfall, the Probation Services Fees Fund is set to jump from $486,973 this fiscal year to $790,500 in fiscal year 2019. Under the proposal, capital equipment expenses will increase from $1.5 million to $3.26 million. Busey said this money will pay for long-planned infrastructure projects, such as roof work on county facilities. Legally Speaking, News Gazette Media's podcast series. Mary Shank, who has been covering crime and courts for more than 35 years, chats with the headline makers on her beat. To hear the podcast in full, visit news-gazette.com. Tom Betts took a job in 1986 as a staff attorney for the University of Illinois Student Legal Service, thinking he'd like to stay a couple of years. He liked the smorgasbord of issues presented by the 5% of U of I students who routinely need legal help, so he never left. This year, the U of I Student Legal Service marks its 40th year of existence, making it the second oldest student legal service in the country, trailing only Harvard. With Betts at its helm, he and two other full-time attorneys handle issues ranging from housing problems to the consequences of arrest on an international student's visa. On Legally Speaking this week, Betts talks with Mary Shank about what his office can and can't do for students. What kinds of cases do you handle? It's very common for us to see traffic tickets, misdemeanor cases. The lion's share of what we do is housing cases, matters regarding security deposits, habitability, conditions of living, breach of contract by the landlords, evictions, things of that nature. Our average student doesn't read the lease. This is one of the aspects of education that we do. Please read the lease. You are forking over $1,200, $1,500 a month. Read the document before you sign it. A huge percentage of our students are international students. They are electronically signing leases from home in Shanghai, Beijing, Seoul. They have never seen the place they are renting. They don't know if it's a good or bad landlord. They think they are going to have fun with a good roommate. They get here and it's very surprising. What effect can a seemingly small indiscretion like possessing cannabis or shoplifting cause a student? There's no such thing as expungement that makes everything go away. There is no magic wand. I have students from 1986 who will call me saying, "This is following me." It's stuff that isn't even a big deal anymore, but it was at the time. I tell them there is no statute of limitations on the internet. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette dated Wednesday, October 10, 2018. Please stay tuned.